Away.
All right, welcome everybody to the Hyperledger Technical Steering Committee. This call is open to all community participants. Please abide by the antitrust regulations and be respectful of the other contributors. We have very little on the agenda today. There is an update from the Iroha project. when I looked about an hour ago, only a few of us had reviewed the report. Go ahead, though, and open it up for questions from TSC members or seeking other sort of clarification on that report. Do we have a participant from Iroha on the call?
Hello, yes, you do have me, Andre, and Igor seems to be here as well, and Alish can also help answer questions. So we have many people here attending, and we are ready to present the update and answer your questions if you have any.
Okay, great. So you had listed in the report an issue getting through the DCO. But it looks from the comments yet today that that is resolved.
Oh, sorry, I did not. The thing is that we resolved the DCO issue like a day ago. So we created this report before it was resolved, and then we added the information that it was resolved. But unfortunately, I missed the part that it was still an issue here in the report. I'm sorry, I did not delete that one. But it's resolved now, yes.
Yeah, no apologies needed. That's great that it's resolved. Okay. Questions from anyone else?
Hi, this is Arno. So I have a kind of a general question about Iroha. And I mean, when Iroha got started, Makoto told us that one of the motivations was actually to be using C++ because he thought there was a much broader set of potential contributors writing C++, and that would be a big advantage over, say, you know, Fabric, for instance, which was based in Go. I wonder, you know, if you guys have an opinion at this point. I'm not completely convinced that this was, you know, this actually worked out so well from that point of view. And there may be other factors, obviously, that come into play, that, but, you know, I was wondering if you guys have any opinion about that.
Yeah, it's maybe difficult, Alish here. It's maybe difficult to comment what was at that point reasonable or not reasonable from, you know, Makoto's point of view. But I see the possibility of being the only platform in C++ to get, you know, contributors and build a community that is skillful in C++ and doesn't have any other platform to collaborate this. If you're asking if this is happening at the moment, the answer is maybe not to the level that we would like to see it happening. I don't know what is the reason for that. Maybe people that are skillful in C++ are not looking into the blockchain at the moment, or they already switched to another language. So this is something that we probably should research a little bit more. But we also discussed, I think, on one of the previous meetings that maybe some companies are waiting for the first release because otherwise it's difficult for them to justify the, you know, the efforts and the time contributed to the project. So we are also looking forward what will happen after the first release, if some of the companies will jump on board and dedicate some resources. Not sure if this answers your question, but this is from my side. Maybe Andre, who is more active in development itself, has an opinion on that.
Yeah, hello. I'm not sure I have any more comments regarding the language decision, but well, from the performance perspective, it's it has its own potential benefits.
Okay.
I can maybe add another comment. We are also working now with Polkadot, and we are building the runtime environment also in C++. So they also decided that C++ is an interesting addition to the choices that they already have. So now we are adding this to the Polkadot.
Okay, thank you.
I did want to point out that the TSC had set kind of a mechanical stop against their hitting Aroha hitting 1.0, which was, it was dependent on the DCO conformance. And now that they have DCO conformance, as of a few hours ago, they have officially hit 1.0. So I would just like to say, thank you for the Aroha team for working closely with LFIT to get the DCO conformance issue resolved, and congratulations on hitting 1.0.
Yes, congratulations.
Yeah, congrats again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Arno, thanks for that question too. I think it's helpful if we start looking retrospectively in each of these projects for technical assumptions that we made up front and start to extract some of that learning so that we evolve how we're approaching the projects.
Hey Dan, that brings up a really interesting set of questions we should plug into like our project readiness and our metrics, which is maybe some questions towards developers, new developers who join Hyperledger, and see if we can judge sort of like how high the bar is based on whatever language the project is based on. Be interesting to see if we could find some measurements that we could put into the dashboard that we can look at in the future.
Yeah, that could be interesting data for us. All right, well, we don't have other previously scheduled agenda topics. I noted that Vipin had already put together the identity update. It looked like some of us had an opportunity to look through that. Vipin, I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you would like to take questions today, we can do that. Otherwise, we can do that as scheduled next week.
I can take questions.
Great. So I'm going to go ahead and click that report back open on my end. Looks like about half of us have had a chance to take a look at that. Are there any questions from those who have?
Yeah, Vipin, and I know we've discussed this on PSWG calls as well, and Chris has been involved in the discussions. And maybe to sort of hijack your report, but one of the things Ryan and I are looking at and trying to lead is a discussion on how we maintain and increase participation in working groups, SIGs, and projects in general. And one of the things I think you've done that's great is you're off trying to run two meetings, basically the same meeting, but two different time slots in the same day to try to bring in people from all around the world. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, basically we have had problems with the membership, the participation in SIGs. There have been a lot of emails back and forth about the reasons for that. In particular, in Identity Working Group case, I think it is because of the takeoff of Aroha, Indy and the work in the agents subgroup and the sovereign calls and all that, because they do deal with the identity topic. But I think a crucial element is missing there, which is the legacy systems topic on identity and the bridges that can be built between the legacy systems and SSI, which we have been always sort of pursuing. But be that as it may, in the sense that we are seeing lesser participation. So my aim in creating the two time slots was to create one that is more friendly to the APAC region. There are, you know, I have run now three days, calls with dual, with two time slots. But I noticed one strange thing, that is the participation in the regular call increased, and the participation in the second call remains low but steady, meaning there are people from Australia, Japan, and Hong Kong, and so on, that call in, which who would not normally not have called in, but the numbers are low. So I've been trying to promote it on both India Community Working Group and on China, TWG China, but I haven't seen any participation from participants there. What I'm wondering is, how can we increase the participation and make meaningful contributions to the Identity Working Group paper and get it towards completion with increased participation from the APAC region. So this is the reason for my second call. And it has had limited success. And, like I said, still only in the third call. But I believe that we should try to get more participation by the Linux Foundation or some, the people there reaching out to the companies that are based primarily there in the APAC region. And I'm also wondering whether, we had for just in the last call, we had reps from Iroha and from IBM, from Hyperledger Fabric, who might contribute a little more into the paper. So this is, my experience so far has been, it is overall positive, and I will continue this exercise. Chris says this is a sort of an Iron Man thing, having two calls on the same agenda, same day. Anyway.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for the additional.
I think, it kind of highlights though that, to a certain extent, this is what Brian has been saying along, but I think that, just as we do with, the open source side of things, I think especially when you're collaborating on a deliverable, then maybe a little bit more email back and forth and or, discussion in the margin of a Google Doc or something like that is probably, the way to do the collaboration. And then when you need to sort of get in and have a tighter discussion, maybe use that for a call. But I think that, calls can be useful, but by the same token, Mark, we're struggling a little bit, in the SWG to, not lose, participation as well. We're trying to figure out, how best to sort of move forward. But, it could be just, we need to find better ways of asynchronously working together.
We do have that facility in the document. In fact, we have had a lot of comments in the document. In fact, we had several contributions over the last couple of months in the document, some very interesting ones. The flip side to this whole document thing is that we've had some rogue deletions, which I've not been able to pinpoint on any particular individual. Maybe it is just a fat fingering thing, but now I've just locked it down for only for comments and for suggestions, which then I will incorporate into the document. But maybe there is a way to have a biomedia or even use GitHub for this purpose. But we have had extensive comments on the document. In fact, if you look at the document and look at the site, we have not been resolving many of them as rapidly as we should because of the participation points. And there is also a debate about exactly what is the purpose of the working group, right? This document is one thing, but to provide a forum for discussion about identity matters that are not only in Hyperledger projects, but also from the outside, the interesting aspects of it, so that everybody can be developers who are not identity specialists or people who are not identity specialists can listen to those presentations and make adjustments in their outlook. Plus, the we are sponsoring also the agent-to-agent protocol. In fact, we had an excellent presentation yesterday from Daniel Hardman on agent-to-agent, which I haven't put in this update. But you know, he showed up on two occasions and spoke about this. So we have this thing. What is the work product of the group? Yes, it should be this document. But also, it should be, you know, providing this forum for bridging the identity topic.
I think I think Nathan's been trying to interject here for a while.
Yeah, so that's actually a good lead into my question, Vipin. The Identity Working Group has been a really good bridge to some of these communities outside of Hyperledger. Can you comment a little bit about how the partnership with the Ethereum Enterprise Alliance has worked with respect to identity, and also anything that you could say about the new DIFT 2.0 kind of reorganization work that's going on over at the Decentralized Identity Foundation?
Yeah, we had a demo of the DIFT Universal Resolver. I haven't, you know, we had a demo last week, and I ran the demo without knowing. I was just able to log into the DIF Universal Resolver and do that demo. So that is one aspect of things. And I'm keeping a close watch on that, as well as the credentials community group. I do also look at your indie exchanges. So I'm trying to condense all that into this particular, as far as into this working group. As far as your question about EEA, we had a couple of meetings where we had bridges to them, but we seem to have lost a little bit of momentum there. And I did speak with someone yesterday who wanted to talk to me about how we can further collaborate and what the feedbacks are on the EEA, because EEA is, again, a membership-only organization, and you can't just show up for those calls. You have to be either invited or, you know, have some kind of a link to that invite. The other way, of course, is completely open, and Reuven has been on several calls, and we did talk about the implementation of SSI in sovereign countries and what are the limitations and whether PII should be on the ledger or off the ledger. You know, there were several comments about that, and that actually helps people who are actually working on this stuff. In particular, I had someone named Moushmi Chatterjee who was there on that call. And she was, you know, she's working on that particular topic, and was helped by Reuven's comments, because I mean, we all know that, you know, there is a proscription on putting PII on the chain, even if it's encrypted. So that what are the different ways in which we can do that? You know, anyway, without going into the particulars, yeah, please.
Okay, Mr. Hughesby.
Yeah, hey, so I wanted to point out that I'm trying something new with regards to async collaboration for the CI/CD committee. Our wiki tightly integrates with Jira. And well, actually, before I describe it, I did want to call out Sean Amundsen is a really big proponent of using the Git process for documentation. And I'm going to have to say I agree with him on this one. It solves a lot of the problems Vipin was talking about with rogue deletes and trying to track, you know, the life cycle of a shared document everybody's working on. I'm trying to do sort of a middle road. Instead of going straight to GitHub, I'm using our wiki for this. There's a private space for the CI/CD committee that all the committee members can see, but nobody else can see. And we have a number of documents in there we're working on, and I'm using the integration between Confluence and Jira to create tasks for people as they volunteer for things. And on the wiki side, they look like tickable checklists, right, that are assigned to certain people, and those are actually linked to Jira tasks on the Jira, so that when they get checked off, they get closed on Jira. And the wiki provides history for edits, collaborative editing, so we can all jump into a document on a meeting. We haven't done this yet, but I'm planning to tomorrow in the CI/CD committee meeting, where we'll jump into a document, all start editing and all that stuff, and then we can, it all gets published to the wiki. And yeah, I'm hoping that this turns out to be a better way to collaborate. You know, we have the history mechanism through the wiki too, so if there's rogue deletes or whatever, we can just roll stuff back. So just throwing that out there for everybody. Everybody has a personal space on our wiki in which you can invite other people in to collaborate on things. And I believe you can create private spaces. I'm not entirely sure what the standard capabilities are for just normal community members. I'll have to look at that. But I know that you have a personal space at least that can function as a private space, and you can quickly set one of those up. But if there's any of the working groups or anything like that wants to, you know, work in private until something's ready to present, talk to me or Ryan. We'll see what we can do about setting up private spaces. I kind of want to avoid the proliferation of private spaces, but if that turns out to be a good way of working, I'm sure we'll entertain it. So I'm just trying it out on this to see if it works.
So Dave, your working group is well hidden.
Yes, because it's not a working group; it's a committee, and we're trying to produce a document. And we wanted to like
avoid. But it's not even. It's there's nowhere to find it.
I know that it's on purpose. The committee knows where it is.
I don't see how that's transparent and in the spirit of calculating.
Hey, exactly. I mean, this is the biggest problem, right? Google Doc link is a very open way to do this. Otherwise, you have to have GitHub IDs, all kinds of other stuff, LF ID. Which is fine. I mean, you know, if we are come to a certain maturity in the document, when we don't want people to start, so there might be a dual pronged approach. In the beginning, you leave it open, and then you start closing it off because you have the document at a certain level of maturity. Collaborative editing has been, has been done by us. In fact, in meeting notes, specifically for the architecture working group and URSA and others, and we do see each other's edits, but only if you're also in edit mode. It's fine. I mean, you know, all these methods do work, and we are in the, you know, in a maturation process, so. It's good to talk about all the different alternatives as they come up. And
okay, great. So I think that we have kind of gotten starting to digress into document editing techniques. So thank you for the update, Vipin. One other thought is you might want to reach out to Julian Gordon to address some of the APAC questions that you raised.
Julian is going to be, Julian's taken some personal time off. So reach out to the community architects team. We have an alias for that, community-architects@hyperledger.org. And we'll try to put you in touch with people who work in Julian's office, and we'll try to make that connection for you. And I see David has his hand up.
Oh, I just wanted to address what Chris's point was. Yes, we are keeping that committee private, or the documents private, but the committee participation is still open. So if anybody's curious about what we're working on and wants to participate, send me an email and I'll get you all hooked up into the committee and you can come in and join the meetings and stuff. I think what I wanted to avoid was having too many chickens. I wanted to have only pigs. So anybody who wants to participate can still participate, but I wanted to eliminate like sort of the drive-by fights and stuff because we have a deadline and I wanted to keep the scope focused and drive forward quickly. Like just gathering requirements and saying, this is what we're going to work on. This is what we want to recommend. And then we'll come to the TSC for further discussion. So, but I don't know that I'm correct. If the TSC says, don't make private spaces on the wiki, I will follow that directive. So maybe we should bring this up for discussion next week or today.
There's one other thing I think that would be important relative to the identity working group to mention the technical steering committee, which is there's an organization called the Decentralized Identity Foundation that with the joint operating agreement organization that Microsoft has previously sponsored moving over to the Linux Foundation is kind of migrating into the Linux Foundation. That process is kind of underway. And in conjunction with that, they're looking to figure out how to open up their development process and figure out how to better sponsor some of their projects. So there's some interesting collaboration opportunities or perhaps some competition in terms of the open source code engagements around decentralized identity that are opening up this week and next week in the run-up to the Internet Identity Workshop. So if any of your organizations have been engaged with the Decentralized Identity Foundation or are involved at all in Indy and some of the other SSI projects that are available, it might be a good time to pay some attention to what's going on over there at this.
All right. Thanks, Nathan. Bawa?
Yeah, just one suggestion on how to promote the meetings for the China area. So for the TWDC, there's a mail list. So I would suggest if you can put the event information there in advance, there may call more people to attend the meeting if they're interested.
Yeah, I've only been posting in the Rocket Chat channels. I guess I should also include the other vectors.
Yeah, I see that, but you know the Rocket Chat is not that active.
Yeah, and I have to translate many of that stuff anyway in order to understand what you guys are talking about. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, thanks for your effort, Weiping.
No problem.
And can you remind me what the status of Rocket Chat is in PRC? Is it accessible?
Well, it is accessible, but sometimes it's slow to access. And I see people prefer to use some mobile app like the WeChat for the online chatting, mm-hmm. but they do not prefer the Rocket Chat. And yeah, so I would suggest that the mail list is still the first way to promote the news.
Okay, thanks. All right, well, that is the end of the official agenda for today. It looks like next week, though, we're going to have a much fuller agenda. We'll be looking forward to something hitting the mail list from Dave Hughesby today or tomorrow on project readiness. So expect some discussion on that. And there will be one to two other proposals. One proposal has hit the mailing list for transaction API, and then the Aries proposal from Nathan, I believe, has not yet been mailed. And then we've got two other backlog items for project engagement and the ambassadors reboot, and I don't think we have any immediate updates scheduled for those. All right. Unless there's any pressing item that didn't make it onto the agenda this morning, we'll give a minute for that, and then we will just wrap up. Going once, going twice. All right, thank you for everybody's time and look forward to discussion continuing on the mail list and chat as usual, and see everybody next week.
Thanks.
Bye.